Taking Over This Town by Kevi Stell. Read by Rhea314. Fandom, Yuri on Ice. Pairing Katsuki Yuri, Viktor Nikiforov. Part 1 of the With Someone So True series. Viktor is a morning person, except when he's hungover. Yuri wakes up to an empty bed 9 times out of 10, throws his arms out blindly to feel the pillows still warm from the imprint of Viktor's head, half the blankets kicked to the floor. Gets up, eyes sleep-crusted, fumbles for his glasses. Goes out into the hallway to find Viktor already nursing his first cup of tea. Wintry sunlight filtering through the blinds and falling in waves onto his profile. Looking so still, so warm. That moment, every morning, just before Viktor looks up and sees him and says, "Ah, Yuri," in a tone of new delight, is what Yuri will never get used to. Here's the thing. Viktor Nikiforov is a consummate performer. Yuri feels as though he's grown up, watching Viktor take the spotlight in his lean, experienced hands and make it his own. His smooth deflections at press conferences, the precise delicacy of his smiles. Even as a new-blooded 16-year-old, sharp and charismatic and oh-so-beautiful, Viktor did not like to talk about his personal life. Now that they're on the same side of the cameras, Yuri clutches the bouquet he's picked up off the ice, almost unseeing, and focuses on the dizzying, perfect details. His skin is still damp, his pulse is only just beginning to slow. Viktor's hand has not moved from the small of his back since Yuri came off the rink. Viktor blinks. He smiles, eyes widening in slight, very slight surprise, entirely guileless. His plans? His future? Yes, says the interviewer. Everyone wants to know what Viktor Nikiforov has lined up for himself. Viktor smiles wider. He looks as though the question has never crossed his mind, as if he hasn't thought about it 1,000 times, head on Yuri's shoulder, blankets tangled around their waists. He doesn't want to talk about himself. He wants to talk about Yuri. It hurts to watch. It is physically painful. Yuri clutches tightly at Viktor's wrist in the taxi back to the hotel, the flowers abandoned somewhere, he can't remember, and thinks, "Oh, what will I do without you?" This is what Yuri thinks he knows. From childhood obsession, shame-faced adolescent fixation, from every twist and leap and spin on that smooth expanse of ice that has been his whole world as long as he can remember. Rinks look the same everywhere. From watching and re-watching Viktor's old YouTube videos on bad nights in Detroit, his heart tight in his chest. Wondering even then, allowing himself to imagine, "What are you thinking?" The bright sweep of the camera loving Viktor. The crisp, exhausted satisfaction on those fine features as he raised his arms to the cheering audience. The flash of pure anger, quickly masked, when he flubbed a jump or fell in competition. In the hotel room that night, their twin beds pushed together, Viktor looks hurt. Or, no, he doesn't put on a hurt expression, that pained wince that is meant to draw laughter it is so nearly a pout. He only gazes at Yuri, that careful velvet mouth gone slack, those heavy eyes lingering on Yuri's face, watching, waiting, says, "Would I ever leave you? Is that something I would do?" Yuri closes his eyes. He lets himself believe. They sit on the floor of their living room as Yuri treats his feet with antiseptic. Makachin whines, head heavy on Yuri's lap. The curtains flutter in the sunset breeze. As the evening grows dark around them, Viktor laughs. "Look how worried you're making him." "Ah, it's okay, Makachin," Yuri says on reflex. He strokes Makachin's fur. His feet are broken and bleeding from the day's practice and the punishing runs, but he's seen worse. Viktor has seen worse. Viktor, fingertips gentle on the cracked skin of Yuri's soles, pulling a few sheets from the ever-present Makachin tissue box with his other hand, stops abruptly. He pulls Yuri to his shoulder, palm cupping the back of Yuri's head, his nose buried in Yuri's hair. Yuri turns his cheek into the touch and breathes in that hot, familiar scent of black fabric. Really, I'm okay, he insists, a little impatient now. He presses the antiseptic wipe to his heel and winces. Makuchin paws at Yuri's knees, his ears twitching anxiously. Victor picks up the tissue box and pushes it into Yuri's face, making ridiculous dog noises that are echoed by the real Makuchin, grinning at Yuri's muffled protests. Look, Makuchin's kissing you. And? He leans in, seemingly all spontaneity. Yuri knows better. And now I'm kissing you. Victor is, Yuri thinks, frankly less interested in coaching than he is in Yuri. Well, no, that's not fair at all. He picks out imperfections in other skaters' performances as easily as breathing, narrows his eyes at their step sequences, chin on Yuri's shoulder, his slow breathing lifting the bangs that fall messily into his eyes, thinking, assessing. It's like he's not even conscious of what he's doing. It simply comes naturally to Victor. Victor is constantly in observer mode. But it's only when Yuri goes on the ice that there is warmth to his scrutiny. Yuri is different. He can't help himself. Yuri loves music, loves skating. He has a quiet collection of program tracks on his phone, favorites saved from his fellow competitors' past performances. Yuri's memory is pitch perfect. He can imitate small, shorn-off parts of their routines on impulse. Does it sometimes for warm-ups when it's just him and the dark natural rhythms and the great emptiness of the rink, earbuds singing brightly, exhilarated and content. It's a secret he keeps. It's wildly embarrassing. On one of the rare Saturday mornings when he arrives early at the rink, Yuri hums idly along to Guang Hong's violin elegance, lands the jump Pichit messed up at the Cup of China, and thinks, Victor would never skate to Christoph's Intoxicated. He wouldn't. He couldn't. They have the same gorgeous magazine model charm and the same reputation, but it's not Victor's style. Victor is not interested in this. Very nice, Victor says from the entrance, dryly amused. Yuri trips over his own feet and yelps. And posters, of course. Figurines. Yuko leans against the rail next to Victor as Yuri straps on his skates. She pauses before she speaks again. Yuri knows she wouldn't bring up Vichan in any kind of joking context. We were what, 11? We watched so many videos of you with Takeshi. Really? Victor's tone carries very little surprise and a whole world of pleasure. He cups his hands over his mouth and calls, Not so fast, Yuri. Yuri puts in his earbuds, turns up the volume, and skates backwards away from them at breakneck speed. I'm going to skate compulsory figures now, okay? Okay. Yes, of course, replies Victor in a bemused, when have you ever asked for my permission, sort of voice. Yuri is not sure why he even bothers at this point. Victor already knows how painfully Yuri adores him. Yuri! Yuri! Will you show me? I can't hear you! I don't know what you're saying! The only show Victor watches with any kind of commitment is Eurovision. He sits beside Yuri for hours, sharing earphones as they race through singing contests and Japanese dramas and old Netflix favorites from Yuri's college days. Whatever they're watching all depends on Yuri's mood, but it doesn't seem to matter to Victor. He gazes at Yuri's laptop screen, utterly content, and falls asleep on Yuri's shoulder more often than not. Turn off the English subtitles, Victor orders one night, bright with excitement, as they're sitting in the inn after dinner, with the television humming in the background. It's late, the only customer is an old man asleep in his sake, and Yuri obligingly picks up the remote. Victor claps in delight when he understands everything the actors are saying without asking Yuri to translate even once. He leans against Yuri, rattles off one of the love interest's lines with the same concentration Yuri uses on his choreography. He tips his face up to Yuri's, mouth warm and liquid and drowsy. Asks, How's my accent? Cute, Yuri says, laughing. He kisses the top of Victor's head, thinks, I'll never let this go. When they break for lunch, Yurio takes one look at Yuri and Victor's joined hands and says, "No. Nope. You guys go ahead. I'll eat by myself." "Nonsense," says Victor. Yuri zips up the front of his hoodie. "We're going to the same place, aren't we, Mila?" Yurio scowls as he lifts himself out of a perfect split. "I want to eat with Mila." "Yes, all right," Mila agrees. She puts Yurio in a headlock and drags him toward the ring's entrance with them. "Come along, Yurochka." In the little corner cafe, by unspoken agreement, Mila drops cheerfully into the single seat opposite and leaves Yurio sitting between Yuri and Victor. Yurio glowers into his dumplings. Yuri's never tried borscht before. Shivering from the chill of the outdoors air, he spoons it down in what must be record time. From the other end of the bench, Victor smiles at him.
"Good."
"Very," Yuri answers, and leans around Yurio to feed Victor a generous spoonful.
"Kill me now," Yurio says.
"Oh, sorry, did you want some, Yurio?" More than anything, Yuri is afraid. He's afraid of the day he'll look at Victor and not find him already looking back with that gentle smile. He's afraid of losing this. Not Victor exactly, but the deep, overwhelming awe that tugs at his lungs when he least expects it. That singing wonder, "You are here, you stayed. I chose you and you chose me." He doesn't know which option adds more heat to the anxiety coiling beneath his ribs. One day taking this for granted, or never getting used to it. Victor shifts and murmurs behind him, lips at the nape of Yuri's neck. Under the blankets, the weight of his arm across Yuri's waist is heavy. To this day, Yuri still doesn't know why Victor wants so many fucking lamps in their bedroom. He's not going to ask.
"Stop thinking so much."
"You're thinking too," Yuri whispers back.
"Yes," Victor agrees.
He kisses the spot behind Yuri's earlobe, where the skin is dusty and soft. He doesn't elaborate. Yuri breathes, in, out, deep and steady and sweet. He always finds himself tempted to try and synchronize the rhythms of their breathing just before they drift off to sleep. He can't help it. It feels so natural, and they are pressed so close it doesn't matter. Victor grumbles in Russian in his sleep and turns over and over, and comes half awake in sleepy curiosity to Yuri, irritated, dragging the blankets off him because Victor has wrapped himself up in them and left Yuri freezing in the night air. "It's okay. They're okay. It's okay." In an Osaka supermarket, Victor holds up two packets of dog treats which look, to Yuri, practically identical.
"This one or this one?"
"Vitka, they're the same," Yuri says patiently.
"No, no. This one makes his breath smell, but he likes it better."
They're in Chicago for Skate America, crammed into the window seat of a deep fireplace-like burger joint. Peachit is there. When they're assigned to the same events, he is always invited wherever Yuri and Victor go, always, and where Peachit goes, the others invariably follow. Sung Gil's on his way, and Kristoff is apparently stuck at one of the subway stations. Yuri is never entirely sure whether Victor likes Kristoff. He certainly has a knack for showing up out of nowhere whenever Kristoff decides to slip one hand into Yuri's jeans pocket. Sometimes, Yurio asks witheringly, in Russian, which Yuri is picking up in scattered phrases,
"Jealous?"
Victor says, blue eyes all wide in perfect innocence,
"Who, me?"
Leo says to order the fries extra large, Peachit tells them now. His cheeks cool from the wind as he scrolls through his messages. He says the cheeseburgers taste funny, but the milkshakes are their specialty. "I know. Mitya's been here before," Yuri says absently, chin in hand, before he starts and remembers it's rude to interrupt. He puts on his best Russian accent, which is terrible.
"Delicious! Amazing!"
"Yuri!" Peachit and Victor exclaim together, dragging out the syllables of Yuri's name in the exact same sing-song rosy tone. Yuri's heart brims over. He hides his face in the menu.
Fichet is ecstatic to discover that this place offers free Wi-Fi. "Smile for my Snapchat," he says, leaning back in his seat beside Victor to get Yuri in the shot. "You know, I was telling Otabek, just now, that... dog!" "Dog?" says Victor, untangling the ends of his scarf. "Dog! Dog!" Yuri and Fichet press their faces against the window as a woman in a peacoat and scarf passes by, heels clicking on the pavement outside, her five golden retrievers flocking about her. Victor rests his head on the windowpane and massages the bridge of his nose. Yuri's thighs are burning, and his breath comes fast in his ears. He crosses the bridge, the scent of flowers thick in the dusk, water lapping darkly beneath him, and is just about to head into the park when Victor steps out from the shade of the trees. Yuri, still afire from his momentum, turns his head automatically to look but doesn't slow down. Then Makachin shoots forward and is at Yuri's side in an instant, dancing narrow circles around his ankles. Yuri skids to a halt, bracing himself with both hands on his knees as he catches his breath. His heart thrums harshly. Victor, wearing one of Yuri's old jackets, although he's no stranger to the cold, follows Makachin lazily with his hands in his pockets. What little light there is left gleams on his hair. It's a strange, safe feeling, Yuri thinks, to be so secure in his Victor, this soft-edged reality of a man, thoughtful, perceptive, private. "Makachin missed you, so we came looking," Victor says, laughing. He lifts out one of Yuri's earbuds with a questioning look, and when Yuri nods, slips it into his own ear, bobbing his head appreciatively. "Are you done?" "Yeah," Yuri says softly, disbelieving, breathless and wondering at his own good fortune. "Let's go home." The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.